special anthology dear to my heart and all that because of the writers who are here today and the writers, the Filipino writers who are in the U.S. and in Berlin who contributed so much to this collection. I understand that not everybody here is familiar with a genre called noir, and it's a form of crime fiction that isn't really after cheap thrills and sensationalism and gore and all that sort of thing, although there are some pretty graphic stories in this collection. The aim of the writers is for something higher, I believe, and deeper, and they have concerns that have to do with what's going on in the world around them. And the characters are very special. And one of the things that is also very special about this particular collection is the work of Pan and Baldissimo, because it is a graphic noir, what you call comic, that is the centerpiece of this collection. So there's a visual element to this book that is extremely extraordinary. If I can be so redundant in saying that. It's a special book. I'm really glad we all worked on it together. And I want to read a little bit from the introduction. And my apologies, because it's going to be so noisy with the door opening and closing. Okay? You bear with me, and I will read a little excerpt from my introduction to the book, and then I will introduce each of the writers, and you'll get to hear their work. So, and I believe we're going to have a chance to have a Q&A with the audience later. So my introduction has a title, it's called Quam Fatal, and that's what I consider this great city of Manila to be. I like to think of Manila as a woman of mystery, the ultimate Quam Fatal. Sexy, complicated, tainted by a dark and painful past, she's not to be trusted. And why should she be? She's been betrayed time and again, invaded, plundered, raped, and pillaged, colonized for nearly 400 years by Spain and 50 years by the United States, brutally occupied from 1942 to 1945 by the Japanese Army, bombed and pretty much decimated by Japanese and U.S. forces during an epic month-long battle in 1945. In spite or because of this bloody history, Manileños, her wild and wayward children, have managed to adapt, survive, even thrive. Their ability to bounce back, whether from the latest round of catastrophic flooding, the ashes of a 20-year dictatorship, or a horrific world war, never ceases to amaze. Manila is where I was born, a city of heat and shadow and secrets, perfect for this genre we call noir. Built on water, reclaimed land, Manila has evolved over the years into an intense, congested, teeming megalopolis, the vital core of an urban network of 16 cities and one municipality, nowadays collectively known as Metro Manila. Can we talk about her considerable nostalgic charm? Rojas Boulevard, the waterfront roadway along Manila Bay, akin to the Malecon in old Havana, Cuba, down to its stately coconut palm trees, glorious sunsets, and frost colonial history. Where anyone, rich or poor, can seek respite from the clamor and pollution of the city and gaze at the water and dream. Both Rojas and Havana's Malecon were constructed during the early 1900s when Cuba and the Philippines were under U.S. military rule. When I was a child, Rojas was known as Dewey Boulevard, after the American Admiral. Back then, I never questioned the weirdness of all those streets named after Americans. that tells you everything. The U.S. Embassy is still located on one end of Rod, to this day a site of hope, deep resentment, and longing. Under a boiling sun, we Filipinos line up to apply for exit visas. The lines are long, and so is the wait. Many years have passed since the dark times of martial law and the Marcos dictatorship. People are now free to write and say what they want. The economy seems to be on an upswing or a downswing, depending on who you are. Call centers and big business, there are art galleries, indie bands, film collectives, flourishing in places like Quezon City. But glaring inequities still exist, and workers must toil in faraway places like Saudi Arabia, Israel, Germany, well, you know all this, and Iceland, just to support their families. And there have been many documented cases of female domestic overseas workers being treated as slaves, sexually and physically abused, even killed by their employers. So we can't forget that. And we can't forget that there are crimes and there are crimes. Manila, a city of survivors, schemers, dreamers. Where a down and out kid from the sticks named Manny Pacquiao can punch his way to the top with his fists, become a congressman, star an action movie, maybe become president. Manila's the city of extremes, for the rich live in posh enclaves guarded by men with guns, for the poor improvise homes out of wood, tin, and cardboard, and live by their wits, for five-star hotels and luxury malls, selling Prada and Louis Vuitton, coexist with toxic garbage dumps and sprawling informal settlements. We know all this, and in these stories, you'll find a lot of these elements exploring these issues about this great city. Gina Apostol, F.H. Batakan, Jose Dalisay, Lourdes Vera, Eric Gamalinda, Angelo La Cuesta, R. Zamora Linmark, Rosario Cruz, Lucero, Sabina Murray, Marianne Villanueva, Jonas Dittman, Leslie Tenorio, and the graphic noir team of Budget Tan and Cadro Baldissimo serve up a real taste of life in one of the wildest cities on the planet. There is nothing like it in the world, and they know it. So for our first reader, I want to welcome a very old friend who I met in Hawaii when he was still a student, and now he's a distinguished writer and poet, a novelist, a playwright, R. Zamora Linmark. He's the author of Drive By Vigils and two other poetry collections published by Hanging Loose Press, and two novels, Leche and Rolling the R's. He lives in Manila and in Honolulu, where he was born in Manila, but he lives in the two places. Please welcome